We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's time for Mark James, Andy Hart. It's James and Hart on Sports Radio WEEI.
The most important thing is you showed up.
Oh, I was showing up.
Well, you said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know.
And now here you are.
I'm a team player, number one. I'm a team player.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mock and Hot. What do you think of that?
Mock and Hot.
That's not bad.
Especially for Boston.
Mock and Hot. That's good.
That's good.
Mock and Hot.
If I went to Steve Cohen, he would not know who you were.
That's fine.
Okay.
Would he know who you are?
Yes. Okay. I've known him for 15 years. More people know Jim Rome than a podcast on Patriots.com.
So your claim to fame is you know Jim Rome?
No. I actually don't know him.
On Sports Radio, WEEI.
All right, Mark and Hart, we are back. Happy 4th of July weekend. It's been a while. Last time I saw you was Fenway. Mark and Hart from Fenway Park, or Mark and Hart from Fenway Pack.
That was a great show, too.
It was a very fun show. It was a good show. You had a good 4th of July?
I had a great 4th of July.
Yeah, good.
I had probably one of the most cliche but enjoyable 4th of Julys you could possibly have.
Well, why was it cliche?
Well, I was at Cooperstown, New York, or just outside Cooperstown.
You told me you took your son. Yeah, your first son. That's awesome.
Huge tournament. Thursday night was the title game, which we were nowhere near sniffing. These were big boy Florida and Georgia teams playing, but before the game, they have fireworks, and just the whole park is red, white, and blue. The teams are red, white, and blue.
That's awesome.
Anthem, the whole thing, baseball, Americana, fireworks.
And it no kid kneeled, right?
Pretty cool. No. Nobody kneeled. Okay. They're pretty strict there. The opening ceremonies even made it clear, we believe in red, white, and blue. We believe in what this country was founded on. If you're wearing your baseball uniform and found to have your shirt untucked, you can be booted. If you do not have every piece of your uniform on, if your hat is backwards, you can be booted. They are very strict there, and they play the anthem every morning when everybody's coming in at like 8 a.m. It's a pretty cool slice of Americana and experience.
I haven't been to Cooperstown in 20 plus years, but that place has been a couple times. It is amazing. And what do you think of the hall?
Tremendous.
Right.
And I'm man enough to admit I teared up watching. They have like a 15-minute video as you come into the hall. And I got a little choked up.
I haven't been yet to Canton.
I have not either.
That's on the list. I assumed you would have been.
Nope.
Oh, I see that. That's the one I want to go to.
I probably should have gone when Tippett went in a few years ago, and I'm not going this summer when Law's going in, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I'll get there. My son really wants to go.
Yeah, I used to intern at the Basketball Hall of Fame in my hometown, Springfield, so I've been there many a time. And the new one's really cool. It's just, you know, like anything else. A new one started in 2002, and people just, you know what it is. It's just like anything else. They get... The novelty wears off.
Right.
And then once the novelty wears off, it's like, you've been there. It's still really cool. If you've never been to Springfield, take your son there. It's great and all that stuff. And actually, WEEI, our affiliate in Springfield, is in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
So I didn't know that.
You don't even have to pay. It just happened a couple months ago. You don't even have to pay admission, and the EI affiliate's right there. So so that's kind of cool. Great to be with you on a 4th of July weekend. There's no place we'd rather be in a beautiful sunny day than inside an air-conditioned studio with you. There's no place we'd rather be. 617-779-7937. Before we get into everything, U.S. Women's National Team, Colin Kaepernick, Kyrie Irving, this, that, and the other, Kawhi Leonard, a guy that you're very familiar with, ESPN analyst, Patriots Hall of Famer Teddy Bruschi, suffered a stroke this week. It's noted that he is in good condition, obviously part of WEI. He comes on OMF every week with the guys. I just can only imagine your experience in the years since you got a chance to know Teddy Bruschi.
Obviously, everybody's pulling for him and everything.
Yeah.
You know, the thoughts and prayers. But I'll be honest with you, when he came back the first time, this was my fear. My fear was, and I've always said this, I went into sports because I want to cover sports. I don't want to cover real life issues, murder, and you know, some of the things that creep into sports at times, and rape and domestic violence. And I legitimately feared that we would see something happen to Teddy Bruschi on the football field when he came back after the retirement. And I was very happy that he didn't. It was a great story. His comeback and the team and everything was a great story. But, you know, now this tells you it could have probably happened. Like, you know, why did it happen now? Why didn't it happen then? I'm not a doctor. But, you know, I also think it's really cool what he has done to spread the awareness of what strokes are, what they feel like, how important it is to react immediately to get the attention you need and how that can help you long term. Obviously, this helped him now. He knew immediately what was going on in his body because of his experiences and everything he's been through. But, you know, one of the more passionate men you will ever meet in anything, not just football. But, I mean, he brings passion to any conversation you have with him. And that passion is pretty cool. I know, you know, there's a great debate of how good he was as a player. If you bring up Teddy Bruschi, there are people that think he's a pro football Hall of Fame player. And then there are others that kind of think he was, you know, just a good story in the championship run. But whatever you think, he's one of the most passionate individuals that you will ever see.
Yeah.
So, you know, that passion, hopefully everything comes out. Sounds like everything went about as well as it possibly could, given his knowledge in the hospital, getting there quickly. But hopefully he comes out the other side.
I know. And when he came back from the stroke the first time after 2005, it almost culminated in an absolutely perfect season. He was on that 07 team with Junior Seau, yep. The late, great Junior Seau, and all those guys, Vince Wilfork, Richard Seymour, Jarvis Green, Ty Warren, and it could have. But yeah, then thoughts, prayers, wishes with the Bruschi family, who were, you know, every bit a part of. He grew up on the West Coast, and he went to Arizona. He was part of the Desert Swarm defense, but he is tried and true New Englander. I mean, he has not moved. He still lives here in New England, does the stuff for ESPN. I think he does a really great job on TV, which is not an easy thing to do. So, you want to chime in anything about Teddy Bruschi, feel free to do that. So I went to bed last night. A couple things were going on. The Red Sox were up to 6-2. They were up 6-1, and then they let the Tigers back in the game. So it was 6-4 when I turned off the TV, and I was watching like the 20,000 people in Las Vegas watching the NBA Summer League. It was sold out at the Thomas and Mack Center. Knicks and Pelicans, Zion Williamson versus his former teammate at Duke, RJ Barrett. And then an earthquake happened and they canceled. They postponed the game. It was over. It was done. And I was like, wow. The second earthquake in a week in California. And then they canceled the game. Yet what's weird was the Padres Dodgers in L.A., they didn't skip a beat. They just kept going. So it's like, you canceled because I guess the Jumbotron inside the Thomas and Mack Center was shaking. And it's like, whoa, that to me is like the worst fear of anything. Imagine a Jumbotron falling down on a court. I think it did. The ceiling fell in at the Hartford Civic Center back in the day. But I was like, imagine something like that happening. So, wow. And then you wake up this morning and it's like, oh, Kawhi Leonard is going to the Clippers, and oh, they also acquired Paul George. They just acquired two of the top five players in the NBA. So it's like all that happened. If you go to bed, and if you were up at that time, God bless you. If you were on the East Coast, I know Adrian Wojnarowski was, but the Clippers, who looked like they were going to be the biggest losers next to the Knicks, all of a sudden, they get two of the top five players in the NBA.
Right. You had these reports. Chris Broussard, I think, was one of them, that, you know, the Clippers were out. It was down to Raptors and Lakers.
Oh, you didn't know this? He's the Jason Locke confirma of NBA. Everything he says is wrong.
Well, he got this one dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
Now, I do find it interesting, the more we get from Woj here, and sort of OKC may have been playing off Toronto versus the Clippers because it was a package deal.
Yep.
Maybe Kawhi goes back to the Raptors with George in Toronto, or he goes to LA with the Clippers and George. And it's a really interesting story on so many levels, and we can get into this. And I would like to debate later on NBA free agency, good, bad, you love it, you hate it, because I've grown to hate it. I don't think it's good long term. As a radio host, I'll take it in this July 4th weekend when usually you're just getting ready for the home run derby. But long term, I think it's not a good thing. But we can get into that. But this is also a little bit of, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were the examples of, no, it's not just about the big cities and New York and L.A. and Miami. Kawhi went to Toronto. He might re-sign there. And Paul George went to OKC, and he did re-sign there. And now they're both in L.A., where they were rumored to go all along, the big city, the big market where they wanted to be. But I was stunned because the Kawhi thing didn't, I mean, you knew he was going somewhere. You knew he was probably going to L.A.
All right.
And then you're like, wait a minute, Paul George, what's this now? Paul George and Westbrook sort of by himself. And now these rumors that, it could have been Westbrook and George traded to the Raptors to go with Kawhi.
Right.
So there's like, there's so many layers here. And I also think it's so stupid for the OKC Thunder. So you got all these picks. That's great.
Wow, five first round picks.
Right. So you can pick, what, 26th or lower in every draft?
And they're going to be in the lottery anyway.
Who gives a rat's ass?
Right.
You didn't acquire anything because by all accounts...
Well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's a pretty decent player.
Right. Decent player gets you what in the NBA?
Right.
Nothing. A worse lottery pick, because that's what a pretty decent player gets you in the NBA.
Basically.
And the Clippers pick is not going to be a lottery pick in all likelihood. It's going to be a lower pick.
Oh, of course.
Because they have studs now.
They're going to be a one or two seed.
And not aging studs. No. They don't have LeBron, who might have a couple left.
Prime.
You have middle of their career.
Prime.
So great. You collected all these first round picks. Oh, assets. I'm so sick of the word assets in the NBA. Assets doesn't win you anything.
Well, and the Celtics have found that out more than anybody with assets. They've been building for the future. And Danny Ainge, in terms of acquiring the three first round picks from Brooklyn, one of them did not go his way. I mean, he picked James Young. Well, I was looking at this last night, too. So, Nikola Vucevic.
Yep.
Nikola Jokic with the Joker from the Denver Nuggets, who's an MVP candidate for next year. The Celtics picked James Young over. Now, Jokic did not go until the 41st pick in the second round of the 2014 NBA draft. And with the 17th pick, Ainge decided to take James Young, who was a total bust. Oh, speaking of Chris Broussard, we have Chris Broussard.
I tweeted a week or so ago that the Lakers were his to lose. So they started out with an advantage. So I think that it's maybe 55-65% Lakers over the Raptors.
So there was that. Then... I thought he knew someone close to Kawhi, and so I believe this guy, former Fab Five member, Jalen Rose, well, he had Kawhi staying in Toronto.
What I'm 99% hearing is that Kawhi Leonard will be returning to Toronto and signing a 2-year contract, just completed its 8th season, that's going to put him at 10 years. That puts him in position to get the largest available maximum deal for a player of his tenure.
Wow. Bro, okay, there's 0 for 2. And you ready?
Yep.
Let's go for the hat trick. Mr. NBA, Mr. I make $8 to $10 million a year from ESPN, Stephen A. Smith.
I'm getting word from a couple of reliable sources, Kawhi going to the Lakers. I don't know how true it is, to be quite honest with you, but they're telling me Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. That's what they're saying.
So he tabled it.
Yeah. I don't know how reliable it is.
Right, which is his way of always being right.
Yeah.
I said it first. I had it. I kind of couched it a little bit, but I had it. So you're always right. If you're wrong, you say, well, I said I didn't know how reliable it was.
I didn't know how reliable it was.
If you're right, I said it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have some breaking news, Eamon. Do you want to hit a breaking news thing?
Oh.
It's been a bad offseason for the Boston Bruins, and it just got worse.
Breaking news. This is breaking news on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, the Bruins have already lost Noel Achari to the Florida Panthers. Now they just lost Marcus Johansson, who signed a 2-year contract with the Buffalo Sabres with an average annual value of $4.5 million. Marcus Johansson going to Buffalo. That's him and Achari, two huge integral parts of the run to the Stanley Cup, both gone. Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, I don't know what you're doing, but you better turn this thing around. All right, so getting back to what we were saying about the one thing that I just didn't want, it was my biggest nightmare, was Kawhi Leonard going to the Lakers. And I don't care if he stayed in Toronto or he goes to the Clippers. I did not want, I just didn't want him putting on that purple and gold. Now, look, how about L.A. now? The basketball scene L.A. You have two of the top five players in LeBron and Anthony Davis, and you have two of the top five players in Kawhi now and Paul George, and they're both playing for the LA teams. Lakers, Clippers, boom. So that makes it a lot. I if if Kawhi Leonard went to the Lakers, you might as well have just canceled the next few seasons in the NBA. It would have been unfair.
Oh, yeah. And what that would have, not only that, it would have bothered me because of his age. That would have also been the bridge past LeBron. Because right now, it's Anthony Davis, stud, young,
yep,
there forever.
Yep.
But LeBron is going to run out of gas in the next couple of years. If he hasn't already.
Yep.
He didn't look great last year. He was injured last year. We'll see where it goes this year. Let's say it's 2 years, whatever it may be. If you get Kawhi, now you just extend that window. Now it's the Lakers for the next 5, 10 years, whatever, depending on how everything shakes down in the NBA. So I also, one headline grabbed me. They signed Danny Green, which
the Lakers did. Yes.
I woke up, and as I'm going through all this, and it was Kawhi and George, and then it was Lakers, D. Green, and I went, Draymond Green? Because that's a massive story. And I was like, oh, okay.
Danny Green.
Because then I would have been like, well, nobody outside of L.A. should care. If Kawhi goes with Paul George to the Clippers and Draymond Green was in L.A. with LeBron and Anthony, I don't care. Just have your little NBA title tournament right in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
And no one else gives
a rat's ass. Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. But now it becomes a little bit more. Now Doc Rivers of the Clippers getting the guy that he coveted, that he basically, whether it was legally or illegally, recruited, talked about how great he was. And it looked like the Clippers were going to be the biggest losers. Instead, now they're the biggest winners. They get two top five players a week after the trade deadline thing opened, which was last Sunday. They get two top five players. They changed the whole paradigm shift in the NBA now. And don't get me wrong, the Lakers will still be great. Not nearly as good without Kawhi Leonard. You want to chime in on that? 617-779-7937. The one thing I will say is that in the last week, and even when you went to bed last night and you woke up and you found out that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to the Clippers, it's better than anything I've seen so far in Major League Baseball seasons. Than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Anything. And it will be better than anything. I mean, the London series last weekend was a complete, total train wreck for the Red Sox.
A lot of runs. You didn't like runs? Home runs?
Do you think
6-6 after one?
Yeah, right. Which Joe Buck even mentioned. It was an hour. An hour for the first inning. I'm like, oh, get ready. You better pack a lot. You better pack a sleeping bag, fellas. So now the Red Sox, they are what they are. It just baseball and coming up this week is the All-Star break, the Home Run Derby, which you have a kid. So for kids, the Home Run Derby, it's fine. It's good. You know, you get to see young. Yeah, I remember growing up and Ken Griffey Jr. was in it. So the best players used to be in it.
Right.
Now they don't want anything to do with it. Aaron Judge is not in it.
Nope. Vlad is in it, right?
Vlad, but he hasn't proven anything yet, and he should be in it.
Right.
Right.
You want young stars.
Right.
If you can't get true stars, yes, then get young stars.
Pete Alonso for the Mets, who's got 30 home runs before the break. Those guys, yeah, that's great. But it is what it is. The whole point of the matter is that NBA free agency for this 1 week span steals the headlines of the summer until NFL training camps get started from baseball. And baseball is trying to globalize their game in London, where London's known about baseball because it's been around for a century and a half. And yet, I don't think last week, it was cool. You go there for two games. It was the Red Sox and Yankees. So you went there with the premier rivalry in MLB history, if not sports history. Do you think that people in London are like, yeah, we got to get, you know what I want every night? I want because both games, totally 9 hours.
Right.
I want a 4.5 hour game every night in baseball, and I want to sweat my ass off for 4.5 hours a night. Gee, I can't wait to get that product across the pond.
Hey, I've had a great time in London.
Shorter than cricket, right?
Yeah, well,
those things go on for days.
Yeah.
To them, this is like, whoa, this thing really flew by.
Yeah.
I only gave you 4.5 hours, not 24.
Yeah, they don't need a pitch clock. They don't, no.
Yeah, I didn't think that created the buzz. You know, I have some, we've talked about this a little bit. There's a lot of Patriots fans in England. So I have a bunch of Twitter followers who are in England.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of them said they didn't really care. It didn't really, even though it sold out, it didn't create that much buzz
exactly.
Over there. It wasn't really that big a deal. And I don't know that it created all that much buzz here, which isn't the point, one way or the other. It's to globalize the game. So I don't know if MLB got the bang for their buck, and I'm just not a believer in it. I don't think you need to do that. I don't think it's worth the investment.
Well, yeah, you know what it is too, is it just shows that Major League Baseball, always a year late and millions of dollars short, they're copying the NFL and NBA.
Right.
This is not a progressive move.
But
no one wants to copy you.
Like, I'm fine with you if you want to say, I want to spread baseball and bring Major League Baseball more to South America, to the Caribbean, to, you know, wherever, you know, go to the Dominican. Well, maybe not the Dominican right now, but Puerto Rico and these various places. Spread it in your hemisphere.
Well, it's not like they would, come on, well, it's not like they would try to assassinate their favorite son.
Right, no.
No.
So I just, the whole thing in London didn't really resonate with me. And you're pretty, I mean, I said it earlier, we're lucky. The NBA, they now have the best free agency by far.
No doubt.
You know, 25 years.
It's not bad, though.
It's not bad. But to me, the strength of NBA free agency is also its greatest maybe weakness. I think people are souring a little bit.
What do you mean by weakness?
These super teams and these players. Well, I spent a weekend at my buddy's house and we decided we're going to this team and we're going to tell this team what to do around us and all that. I don't know that people really embrace that, and certainly not people outside of the whatever you want to say six top cities. I mean, if you're in Milwaukee right now, you're thinking, so when do we lose Giannis? How long is he here for?
Right.
When does he decide I want to go play in Miami or L.A. or pair up with whichever guy he becomes friendly with? I think that's all you think about. And you start to fear these Team USA things. Jason Tatum, what's he doing there?
Yep.
Is he becoming a better basketball player? Or is he laying the foundation for when he says, sorry, Celtics, I know you made me untradeable. You wouldn't trade me for anything. Well, I'm trading you for my buddy in Houston, my buddy in L.A., my buddy in Miami, and we're going to go play together. And I think there's a lot of people, probably some of it is internal, because most of us have bosses that we can't tell them what to do with our salary and our job. Most of us don't have that luxury.
No.
Most people don't like this. I think it's starting to rub some people the wrong way. Not in L.A. L.A., you're happy because you got what you wanted.
In 2010, when LeBron made the decision, they loved it there. You know what happened was, here's what's going on, and you mentioned the U.S. men's national teams that, so, and just for context on how this all began. So, now, Danny Ainge put together a big three through trades. He acquired Garnett. He acquired Ray Allen in the summer of 2007. They go on to win a title. Well, in the summer of 2008, guess who played together? LeBron, Bosch, and Dwayne Wade. That right there was the impetus to start the big three. They're like, hey, look what they got going on in Boston now. What if, hey, Bosch, when are you a free agent? 2010. Because LeBron, Wade and Bosch all came into the league in 2003 at the same time, okay? So, like, hey, I'm a free agent in 2010. Why don't we all get together? Where are you going to go? You want to go to Cleveland? No. You want to go to Toronto? Hell no. How about South Beach? Yeah, let's do that. That's what happened 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, that Kyrie and Kevin Durant played on the men's national team 3 years ago in 2016. That's where they became buds. They said, Hey man, you know, let's do, because at that time Durant had already taken his talents to Golden State.
Right.
So then him and Kyrie were like, hey, let's do this. It all starts with you. So when you look at the Olympic team and you look at all these top players and look at the relationships and who's getting together, who's getting along and hanging out with each other like BFFs. That will be your future super team in the NBA.
Especially if you are an attractive city.
That's
now,
right.
If you're an also ran city, Cleveland, Toronto, Milwaukee. Maybe Boston, where people may or may not want to come anymore, although you did just get Kemba Walker, a marquee free agent. Now you look at that and fear it.
But, like, here's the thing, and I'm with you on that, and I said this to the guy that we're going to be doing the morning show with on Monday, Greg Dickerson. He's like, no, he believes that Boston is a destination.
Does he say that with, like, his green team pajamas
on? Oh, he does. Oh, yeah, he still hasn't taken them off. When's the last time the Celtics signed an elite free agent? No. Let me check that. When's the first time? They've never done it.
Do you mean by elite?
I mean Kawhi Leonard, Paul George.
Yeah, they haven't.
They've never done it?
Nope.
Next
tier. You can put Walker and Hayward in that next tier of all-star, big-money free agents.
Yeah, Al Horford.
But never was superstar.
No. An all-star is one thing. Jamal McGlure was an all-star. An all-star is one thing. And Kemba Walker, fine. But the Celtics, and I think the green teamers around here, need to realize that I'm telling you, these top 10 elite free agents are not walking through this door. They just don't want to come to Boston. And I don't, you know, and I'm not saying it's an indictment of the city or the franchise, but let's face it, Kevin Garnett finally, after much reluctance and realizing he could never win a title in Minnesota, said, all right, I like Paul Pierce. Oh, you're going to get Ray Allen? All right, we could do this. Let's do this. He agreed. He agreed only because they were getting Ray Allen and Paul Pierce was already here. And Celtics fans just can't get over that. They don't want to realize that this city is not a destination city for NBA elite free agents. All right, we'll get to that. 617-779-7937. Also, are you rooting for the U.S. Women's National Team tomorrow to win the World Cup? Or are you pulling a Jerry Callahan and rooting against the women because of Megan Rapinoe, because who has become sort of the female Colin Kaepernick? And we'll get to Kaepernick as well. Andy Hart, Mark James, 617-779-7937. But first, it's time for trending.
We'll be returning to Toronto.
Lakers over the Raptors.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right back to James and Hart on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, so the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team are going for another World Cup tomorrow against the Netherlands, and I mean they dominate. They're unlike the men; they actually are good, so this is just par for the course for them. But Megan Rapinoe, who has come out and said some choice words about the president of the United States, and was asked what she would do if the women's team wins it all. And whether or not she would go to the White House, and here's what she had to say.
I'm not going to the White House. No, I'm not going to the White House. We're not going to be invited.
You're not
going to
be invited?
I doubt it.
Championship or bust?
Completely, yeah. Championship or bust. So, always.
Now, so there's that. And if that wasn't bad enough, we'll get to this too, Eamon. She said something that... Which, fine, you don't like the president of the United States, you're not the first athlete who doesn't like him, you won't be the last. It's your constitutional right, whether you like him or not. Here's where things got really, really off track.
What I'm actually saying and the actions that I'm doing, maybe you don't agree with every single way that I do it, and that can be discussed. I know that I'm not perfect, but I think that I stand... for honesty, but also that doesn't mean that we can't get better. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't always strive to be better. I think that this country was founded on a lot of great ideals, but it was also founded on slavery. And I think we just need to be really honest about that and be really open in talking about that so we can reconcile that and hopefully move forward and make this country better for everyone.
All right, so there we go, and there's enough there to keep chewing on before you get to the bone there. Like, I understand you don't like the president. That's fine. Like I said, not the first athlete, won't be the last. The Golden State Warriors is an organization decided we're not going to the White House. Fine. It is what it is. Where did the slavery thing come in? Why did she have to bring up slavery in 2019? Oh, and by the way, she was actually they've already been invited to the White House.
Right.
They've already been invited, and yet she brings up slavery like it's we're still in the 50s in Alabama or Mississippi.
Well, it's certainly tied into the Colin Kaepernick, Betsy Ross, sneaker Nike thing this week, and that flag, what, you know, the original 13-star flag, what the colonies represented and what came after that. But I've yet to hear are there people out there, and maybe I'm ignorant of this, that say slavery never happened? Like, are there people out there, these conspiracy theorists? Because if you say this country, part of its history and part of its foundation was slavery, you're 100% accurate.
Yes.
Which is something that I believe is taught in the history books, is taught in the Civil War, you know, Abraham Lincoln. Like, there's a lot that went on.
Yep.
Everybody knows it. Now, we can't fix that. You're not going to Bill and Ted's time machine go back, quantum leap, and fix that. Right? That is going to be, not a pun here, black mark on American history forever, as it should be, right? Mm-hmm. You need to learn from it, and it is what it is, as one very famous coach in this town would say. So she brings that up like it's new, like she's enlightening us somehow. I'm not sure.
I think that this country was founded on a lot of great ideals, but it's also founded on slavery.
Right. What does that mean? Like, what does that mean?
Right. That's what I'm trying to
ask.
So
does that mean all the good that has come in the last couple hundred years is irrelevant because there was bad? Because every country on the planet, new, old, has bad, has things that they are not proud of in their history.
No.
I would argue that as a woman, as a lesbian woman, she lives a much better life here than she would in a lot of places on this planet right now.
Absolutely.
Right now. I'm not talking about 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago.
Or
I'm
even
saying right
5
now.
Years ago. Right.
Right?
Yep.
So I'm all for acknowledging the issues that we have in the U.S. There is racism, no question, right? There's bigotry. There is any negative that you want to bring up exists.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
There are also all the positives.
That's right.
There are also the opportunities as a lesbian woman who has an open relationship with another professional athlete, lesbian woman, right? Sue Bird is a very successful athlete in her own right. They have had opportunities here that just wouldn't exist in other places, right? Mm-hmm. They're allowed to be vocal advocates for what they believe in. And guess what? They also take the criticism that comes with it. For people to say, yeah, we know there was slavery. What are you talking about? What does this have to do with you going to the White House?
That's right. And therein lies my question. What the hell does that have to do with you and the women's team going to the White House? It's like, you bring up slavery. Say what you want to say, what you will. And this, I don't know, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not coming at you with any type of slant here. I'm apolitical, and I'm trying to stay in the middle as much as possible. But, like, the current president of the United States does not encourage or allow slavery right now, and nor do I think that he ever did, and like it was way before his time. What does that have to do with the U.S. women's team going to the White House? Answer, it has nothing to do with it. So therein lies the fact that why are we talking? Why is she talking about slavery? You hate the president, fine. You know what? There's a list that goes all the way around the block and probably down to the Beltway on I-95 to D.C. and Baltimore, all the way down there on people who hate the president. But what does that have to do with America being founded on slavery? That's the part I don't get. And here's another thing. She's making this all about herself, which is overshadowing the accomplishments of the U.S. women's team, who are on the precipice of winning another World Cup.
Correct.
Which, by the way, despite Megan Rapinoe, who I understand why Jerry Callahan and a lot of people are rooting against the women's team.
I don't. I don't understand how you can root against your own country.
Well, therein lies. That's what I'm saying. Look, in spite of Megan Rapinoe, because people have the choice. If they want to do that, that's their prerogative, as Bobby Brown once sang. I'm rooting for, if we play, Bolivia and Tiddlywinks, I'm rooting for the United States of America. So I want us to win because that's just, I want America to be the best at everything. And I like the fact that the women are the best in the world and the men suck because they couldn't even qualify for the damn World Cup a year ago. But there are people like Jerry and a lot of people out there, especially in the red states, that she is ruffled up feathers that will be rooting against the United States of America tomorrow because of Megan Rapinoe.
Which I find
liberal pinhead puke.
I find ridiculous. I find embarrassing. Like, you're going to root against the U.S. because they have a player that happens to be vocal about her political views and things of that nature. I could see one thing. If they had a player who was a murderer or molesting kids or something, Joe Paterno and Aaron Hernandez wrapped
Ray
into
Rice.
One, Ray Rice, whatever.
Right.
She has said some things. So you're going to root against her?
Oh, yeah.
Like, right, I am.
Yes. That was the drop of the day right
by
there.
By the way,
well,
I wish Jerry was in on Monday. He's going to be out. It's going to be me, you, and Dickerson on.
More sunrise photos we can talk about. Sunrise, sunsets.
No, it's just so.
Happens every day, Jerry. No one cares.
No, just so you could go at it with him about.
Damn right I am.
Rooting against the United States. I can't do that. I cannot do that. I won't root against the U.S. when it comes against another country. Now, it's one thing if it was within the country and, you know, whatever. Like, if it's two teams playing each other, what's in the. I cannot root. Maybe I could see me rooting for Canada if they were playing U.S. women because Canada is part of North America. But, like, I can't root for the Netherlands over the United States of America.
And do you believe that people really do?
Oh,
like, you really think he wants them to lose?
Jerry does.
That's bad. That's the same as people, you know, the Brady, Kraft, Belichick alliance with Trump, whatever that is or isn't, that claim. I'm never watching the Patriots again. Like, what are you doing?
Well,
you enjoy the Patriots. You root for the Patriots. That guy happened to write a letter as a head coach to a buddy of his congratulating him.
For 30-plus years.
And you're going to root against your team that you've probably spent thousands of dollars on over the... Now you're just going to say, nope, I'm done.
It didn't help when Dan Shaughnessy called them Team Trump.
But even if they are Team Trump, let's just I don't know if they are or they aren't.
Right, exactly.
But even if they are.
Who cares?
You can't watch them play on the football field and differentiate between the two?
Yeah.
Like, I've just never understood that mentality. Just throw away. I mean, and a lot of them are older people that make these threats. Oh, I'm not watching the Patriots anymore. I've been watching them since Fenway Park.
Yeah.
So you're going to throw away 50, 60 years of support because a coach or an owner had a political view? Like, I just don't understand that. And again, I understand why people dislike Trump. He is very unlikable.
Sure.
He's arrogant. He says some of the dumbest things you will ever want to hear. He makes you look intelligent. There are some things that he does that are hateable.
I got two masters. I'm pretty intelligent. Yeah, but yeah, I've been watching
those
this.
Two masters around. I'm not sure those colleges would be proud of that. Miami? Let me guess. The U?
Miami and Georgia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Gino Cappelletti. I've been rooting for the Pats since they played at Fenway Park back when the Boston Patriots with Gino Cappelletti. You can't do that.
Tremendous.
It's like you can't stop rooting against the Patriots. It's just that to me is just like, well, then you're not a true fan. Hey.
I don't believe them.
Hey.
I never believed them.
Hey, you know what? My whole life I've been a Nike guy. Well, guess who is a major spokesperson for Nike right now? Colin Kaepernick.
Correct.
I'm not going to stop wearing Nike.
You know why? Because you like Nike.
Yes.
And guess what? They're the best.
Right.
They fit the best. I like their designs.
With all due respect to, you know, our neighbors here across the street at New Balance, I'm a Nike guy. I always have been, always will be. I'm not going to stop wearing out. Do I agree with Nike pulling the Betsy Ross flag sneakers this week? No. But I'm not going to stop wearing them.
Do you see who else is not stopping wearing them? The governor of Arizona who pulled the financial backing. Nike was going to build a factory, and they pulled the state backing. And then he showed up at a fundraiser this weekend or 4th of July wearing Nikes on his feet. Why? Because everybody wears Nikes.
Everybody.
They're the best.
Everybody wear. Even Forrest Gump wore Nikes, okay? 617-779-7937. All right, a lot of people of you want to chime in. We got a quick timeout. We get to all your phone calls. Whether you agree or disagree with Megan Rapinoe, are you rooting against the women's team tomorrow? I am rooting for the women's team. Andy Hart is rooting for the women's team.
Always.
But there's a lot of people, and that's what makes America great. I can, if you want, that is your right to root against them because of Megan Rapinoe. I'm sure a lot of people rooted against the San Francisco 49ers because of Colin Kaepernick, who basically now Megan Rapinoe is the female version of Colin Kaepernick. All your calls, Mark and Hart, coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is James and Hart on WEEI.
These ladies are playing for our country. They wear USA on their uniforms every day, and they're representing all of us. No matter who's in the office, even if you disagree with them, shouldn't you still support your country?
All right, that is Ainsley Earhart from Fox News Channel. She's a Fox News TV personality, the co-host of Fox and Friends. She's referring to Megan Rapinoe, and that's therein lies. Yeah, I mean. You got to support your country. So,
Jerry Callahan?
There you go.
You
got
to support your country. She was talking to you.
Yep. Maybe we'll get Ainsley Earhart on this week. Speaking of Ainsley Earhart and Fox News Channel, got to watch The Loudest Voice on Showtime. Comes on after City on a Hill, which is about early 90s Boston with Kevin Bacon, Charlestown, the whole Charles Stewart thing. And then after that, The Loudest Voice, Russell Crowe. To see him as an old, fat, bald Roger Ailes, it's worth just tuning in for that. But of course, he's a great actor, and he pulls it off so well. Oh, he pulls it off. I've never been a big Russell Crowe guy.
Gladiator?
Well, Gladiator was great, and so wasn't American Gangster.
I don't think I saw that.
You ever saw that with Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe? He plays the cop to take down Frank Lucas.
Nope. What?
Yeah. Dude, what kind of sheltered life you been living, Andy?
What are you doing?
When did it come out?
2007.
Okay. I can tell you what else happened in 2007.
Oh, yeah.
I had a kid.
Okay.
Last
all right.
And 12 years no, have been.
I thought you were going to say, well, the Patriots 18-0 season, then I would have.
Well, that might have been part of it, too. I had a kid and the Patriots.
Okay. All right. I like, all right, the kid. Yeah, hey, I forgive you on that.
Kids take over your life. I'm looking forward to like another
eight years, right?
Yeah, 12 and 10. So in about 8 years, when they go to college, I'll go back, I'll make lists of everything I should have seen over the last two decades and start that recovery.
American Gangster at the top of the list. And there are some cameos by rappers like the RZA from Wu-Tang Clan, T.I., and Common, who are in that movie with Denzel. They do a great job. It's a really great movie. We'll get your phone calls on the Megan Rapinoe situation.
Yes.
Whether or not you agree. Whether or not you're rooting for or against the United States women's team. John in the truck, thanks for holding. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Mark and Hart. Hey, I support the American women's team. I can't stand. I'm not going to not support them because of some bonehead who's, you know, preoccupied with other things, with her own agenda. And there was a sound out there about her talking about the slavery and how we can't, you know, why don't we just move forward? Well, when you're going to take your pulpit like that and talk about moving forward and throw in slavery in the same sentence, then, you know, you're not moving forward. You're talking backwards to move forward.
Right.
It's stupid. And a lot better on the knees than...
Okay, we went
further there than I thought
we were. Yeah, that was... this is only a certain part we can do.
Yeah, no.
Not in this day and age.
But I do think...
We understand, we see your point, though.
Yeah. But I do want to differentiate, for me personally, for my views. And I am neither left nor right. I'm somewhere in the
apolitical
middle. And I have opinions, but I don't allow them to be polarized by the party or the, you know what I mean? I try to look at each situation. I think she has every right to say Trump is a dink and I'm not going to the White House. I do not understand in any way how that ties into slavery and why we need to bring up slavery. And that would be the differentiation for me. You know, I've seen this quote making the rounds this week, the whole Mark Twain thing, that patriotism is supporting your country no matter what.
Right.
And supporting your government when they deserve it. And I think that's probably sort of describes how I feel. I can look at Trump and say, has he done some good things?
Is
the stock market up? Are there certain? Is he an idiot that says stupid things and offends a lot of people? He is certainly not the polished person you would think of as representing your country. That is not who he is. But he is the president. And for me personally, would I go to the White House? 100%. Because I don't see that as me supporting everything Donald Trump says and does.
It's about respecting the office. So even if you don't like the current president of the United States, I don't know, maybe you have respect for Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
Maybe you have respect for George Washington. Maybe you have respect for Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter or whoever, Gerald Ford. I would, you know, whatever. You're respecting the office of the United States of America. And that's all there is to it. You don't even have to shake his hand.
Right. Or when you shake his hand, 99% don't have.
That's why I felt Alex Cora dropped the ball when the Red Sox went to Washington. And Steve Buckley wrote in The Athletic, it's the White Sox going to the White House.
Right.
Alex Cora could have done more good for the people of Puerto Rico by going than he did by not going. By not going, Donald Trump was like, oh, you're just another famous person who doesn't like me. I don't care. If he went, he might have been able to get through and say, listen, I can't, is there anything you can do more for the people where I'm from in the territory of Puerto Rico where I come from? Can you do something? And instead, by not going, he did nothing. It did absolutely nothing. And that's the thing that I think Cora dropped the ball on that. And even his owners, his bosses said, by going, you know, it's not political. If you don't go, you make it political. His bosses, John Henry and Tom Werner, came out and said that. So you thought that the manager would go, but then when the manager didn't go, you know, David Price, Jackie Bradley Jr., Mookie Betts, Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, they weren't going. We knew that. So it's one of those things that it doesn't make sense. Rich in North Providence, you're up next. What's up, Rich?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just have to throw in, how about that Tyler Thornburg, huh?
Yeah. Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that trade will go down in history just as good as the Sparky Lyle trade.
Oh wow! Now you're going. Now we need.
We need Buck.
We need Buck in here right now. When you talk about Sparky Lyle.
Anyway, but talking about the current subject, you know, I understand where you guys are coming from. You respect the office.
That's it. That's it.
You respect the office.
Yeah, you don't have to respect the man in it, but
you don't
the
have
history
to respect
of the office.
Person, but it's like. You know, it's like you make yourself petty. You make yourself look very petty when you don't go to the White House.
Right. Or you miss out on an opportunity. And I was just looking it up because I didn't remember the details. But if you guys remember, when the Patriots went a couple years ago with Obama, Berge Najarian used it as an opportunity to input with President Obama. He got Bill Belichick to wear an Armenian flag. And it was in regards to an Armenian genocide. And there was some political debate. Turkey didn't want the U.S. to call it a genocide. He used the opportunity to share his point of view that most people don't get that opportunity. So when you go to the White House, if you want to tell Trump what you think about him face to face in a respectful way, just say, listen, I disagree with almost everything you do politically. I'm not here to support you. I want you to know. Use that opportunity.
Yeah. I myself, you know, I'm giving myself away here, but I couldn't think of anyone better to go against the liberals, so to speak, than Donald Trump.
What do you mean?
What do you mean by that?
By just, you know, the way they are towards him, this whole Mueller thing, which was...
But Rich, we're keeping this towards the U.S. Women's National Team.
I know.
Specifically, why would you... Rapinoe. You know, I'm sort of going against the Callahan thing. I'm going to root against this American team because one of the members of the team has outspoken beliefs against our president and what's going on. I don't understand that. I can't fathom even what she offends me with bringing up slavery because I don't really understand her point.
Right.
Maybe if she could articulate it better. This goes down the Colin Kaepernick road too. His inability or unwillingness to take the next step in his work for whatever he truly believes in. And I don't know exactly because he really hasn't articulated often enough or vocally enough what he truly believes in and what he's looking to accomplish. There are guys that have. Devin McCourty, Daron Harmon, Jason McCourty have taken really vocal stances. They're attending, you know, the state house and pushing for certain things in education.
That's right.
And minorities and inner city schools that are being underfunded. They've made it very specific. This is what we need to change. This is where we need to go. I'm not truly sure where Colin Kaepernick wants to push everything.
And I'll just say this, too, and we'll get to all your phone calls on this. We haven't even talked about Colin Kaepernick, who got eviscerated by Senator Ted Cruz for his tweet or comments regarding Frederick Douglass, which Ted Cruz just, I mean, basically lambasted Kaepernick yesterday. If you missed that, we'll get to that. But Ray Lewis said this about Colin Kaepernick when he was originally taking a knee. He said, it's all great, but what are you doing in the community to make a difference? What you just said, the McCourty brothers Daron Harmon, they are going out and trying to literally make a difference. Jaylen Brown of the Celtics went and spoke to Harvard a few months ago. Jaylen Brown is a really smart guy who could probably be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company if he wasn't a basketball player. And he is trying to make a difference in the community. Colin Kaepernick, you know what he realized? If I just play the victim card and be the martyr, I'll make more money than if I play. I'll make more money than if I actually play as a backup in the NFL. We'll get to all that. Mark and Hart, 617-779-7937.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.